With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 253, the Matthew McConaughey blockbuster Gold.
Has the McConaissance ran its course?
Question mark. A lot of actors, you know, like, I think this was clearly intended to be Oscar bait.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Yes.
Swing
yes.
and a miss.
That is like the Bugs Bunny cartoon where he throws the slow ball and everybody strikes out in one standing, which is like 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out. That's the way this movie is. Like he didn't get more than one pitch.
Yeah.
He just struck out on one pitch.
Well, you know, I will say this before we dig too much into it. I don't blame him.
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope.
So, but
nope.
First, before we begin, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. You can join the League of Show Sharers. We will say your name in the show. You will be rich and famous, and you can rub it in your friend's face.
That's
and
right.
By it, I mean your genitalia.
Jesus.
What? Isn't that what everybody wants?
Well, I don't know.
So there we go. That's out of the way. We will now tackle Gold.
Yeah, so this movie, does it take place in 1980s in
I think early 90s? I think it begins in 88.
Okay.
But
this is the prequel to Fool's Gold, right?
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's make a check.
Yeah, so we're immediately introduced to Matthew McConaughey's character and Bryce Dallas Howard, who I didn't recognize initially.
Yeah.
And there, you know, he's kind of given her, he runs this, he's part of this company, which you don't really know what they do immediately. Then he kind of lays it out that his grandfather was a miner.
She was a gold digger.
He's a gold digger.
Literally a gold digger. So, you know, he turns out that he's put, you know, it's this mining company in Reno, Nevada. And then it's so like the whole beginning part of this movie seems so inconsequential. Like there's no reason for any of this, because this part of the movie doesn't lead into anything.
I guess his depression sent him in a downward spiral.
I don't need it.
I took it as they're trying to show you that
he had abs at one point.
The company was successful.
They made a lot of money prospecting gold, that this isn't a pipe dream. This is something he's actually done and done well.
Right.
His family has done and done well.
Also,
I took it as kind of like a, like to show that this, to me at least, I took it that this was nepotism run wild. Like his dad was the successful.
Well, I would agree with that.
And
I feel like he's also successful.
I feel like he knew what he was doing. I just kind of felt like it was showing that, like, he probably, while his dad was in charge of the business, probably messed around more.
I didn't get that impression.
You know, I got that impression until I realized it was Bryce Dallas Howard who would become. Were they officially married?
I think I don't know.
Tell if they were married
a
thing, or not,
but they were certainly in a long term committed relationship. And so,
but it seemed like they were trying to show that, didn't it? Like with him showing the pictures and being all smoothie.
I also think, what does it say about me? Where I was like, this is the best Bryce Dallas Howard's ever looked.
Yeah,
I was like, what? Oh no!
Yeah,
from the early 90s, like that version of Bryce Dallas Howard.
She had a little meat on her.
She did.
But it worked.
I think she had just had a baby.
Well, and she also was bigger in that Black Mirror episode.
Oh, she was.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a type.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
So
she looked great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. So,
I thought it was like, oh, he's using this. This is how he seduces his women.
Yeah.
And I think the mistake in that scene was that he shouldn't have given her a gold watch.
Yeah.
Like he gives this spiel and then he surprises her with this gold watch to show you the power and seductive quality of gold. And his unique brand of bullshit.
Right.
And I think it should have been an engagement ring.
Oh,
I think that
would have been more
so
powerful.
So you're aware that they're actually a thing.
Because I thought, he's talking to her, he's giving her the history of gold.
And even his buddies are like, check, check this out.
Yeah, this is a spiel,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, and I mean, obviously it's there for the audience. It's exposition of what he does and how it works. But I thought it was pretty good patter, but I thought it was this is how he seduces women.
Yeah.
And so when this is still his woman 5-6 years later when he's... At his
lowest.
At his nadir.
Ooh.
You know, I clearly they're a thing. Like, she's not a gold digger. He wasn't just trying to seduce her. Or if he did, he decided he liked her more.
He liked her enough.
So, you know, I thought that was a little, like, confusing.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And then, we're introduced to Craig T. Nelson, who, hey, Craig T. Nelson. I love that guy.
I hope you weren't hoping for him to be in the whole movie.
He was also
got like three lines.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you do it.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah, that was surprising.
As I'm watching that, obviously, I think the cast of the DC, DC animated, DC cinematic stuff is what it is. And I think Larry Fishburne is a fantastic Perry White. If they ever have to recast that, Craig T. Nelson as Perry White, I think would be awesome songs.
Now would he have to be Perry Black?
Yes,
because he's white.
That's the way that works.
So Perry White is now black. Yeah, so if you have a white Perry White,
you have to be Perry Black.
Black.
Right.
No,
you have to flip it.
I wouldn't put it past Zack Snyder at this point.
No, it's cool, bro. Like this is what we're just gonna have some fun with it. It's no big deal. He's actually his twin brother. So he tells Matthew McConaughey's character to take point on this thing and then he passes away. Like he says McConaughey's doing a narration over. He's like, this is the last time I saw my dad. He died of a heart attack, like right there on the floor, blah, blah. So we flash forward however many years it is. They never really tell you. They never give you.
They're a little vague about how long it took for that company to get run into the ground.
Well, it was 7 years later.
Did they say seven? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it said 7 years later, and then it went to him walking with his baggy pants and walking around. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And this is McConaughey. Like, he found his mojo again at Dallas Buyers Club, I think is where. Dallas Buyers Club, True Detective.
Magic Mike. He's great in that movie.
He's so good. As much as that, like that
it's
movie
so
gets
swarmy.
It's
that movie
easy to write off that movie. That first one I thought was
that
a very
first
good
one
movie.
Is a good film.
And
they marketed that completely wrong.
That was a total head fake.
Yep.
Yeah. And I can't believe more people weren't upset about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That movie was way better than it had any right to
be. Well, they marketed it to make money. You know what I mean? They marketed it as a different type of
Moana
movie.
Though. Like or no, Tangled.
Yeah.
Tangled's the one where they gave like five different trailers. And each one felt different, and it hit all their markets. So you have the one trailer for the ladies, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then you give the other trailer where it's like, oh, this isn't just about strippers.
Yeah.
So...
I have to say, this movie, at least the first half of it, was a complete mess. I don't know who edited this movie, but like tonally, the music choices... Just the editing overall, I just thought this movie is such a piece of crap from like
when we get to
the first hour.
When we get to the Indonesia is where I was like, oh, okay.
This movie is very frustrating in that I thought it was a really good story in the hands of a really bad director.
Yes, exactly. Because once we got into the story and something was going on, I was hooked because I'm like, this is very interesting.
Right.
But that first hour leading up to something happening, I just thought this is
and
the,
I also
because of the editing and the directing, it was just
I also think if this is in the hands of a different cast, a lesser cast, it's way worse.
How much do they want to be Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
Oh, or American Hustle.
American Hustle is what I was thinking. All I could do was sit there and think of other directors who should have been making this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like if this had been a David O. Russell or Scorsese, and I know that like you don't
get Scorsese's understudy.
Yeah, you don't get Scorsese.
Right.
He does what he wants to do.
Right.
But still.
We haven't seen David O. Russell in a while, have we?
Bop the Joy.
Yeah,
that was a David O. Russell movie.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course, that Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper in it. That's the law.
That says but no, we have, and it was crap. It was like a year ago, and it sucked.
That was longer than that.
Well, it was like
this time last year.
A Christmas
movie.
Yeah.
It was a Christmas movie. It was. It was another Oscar bait.
Remember
movie.
When it snowed at the end, and she stood under the window because
wasn't snow
meaningful. Remember how artistic that was when she stood under a window and got snowed on, and then the movie ended like what? In the middle of Texas.
Man,
I just
bad.
Like, what is happening? But anyway, I couldn't help but to think of movies like American Hustle and Wolf of Wall Street really came to mind because they sold it just like they sold the Jordan Belfort story with him starting up and hooking all these people for money and promising them things that didn't exist.
Yeah, but I feel like Jordan Belfort knew he was screwing them over.
No, I mean, he still didn't have anything when he made this money.
Oh, like, I see what you're saying.
Like,
I see.
They so tried to be Wolf of Wall Street and were so not talented to do it.
But I agree with Joe that I think
if this is true, if what
Jordan
they're saying in this
Belfort,
story.
Like,
oh, yeah, he was a scam artist.
He was deliberately ripping people off. I don't
this
think Matthew
was
McConaughey
not.
Was deli- he
no.
was he
no.
was it was a hard sell to get you to invest in this gold mine. But they were really looking for gold.
Absolutely.
And if they found it, you would get money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it was very high risk. But very,
very high
reward, and that's how that works. But I don't think
he
was
ever
ripping
people
off.
People, I think that they tried to film the same scenes.
Is
my point.
Yeah.
Him cold calling people and promising them based on just hopes and dreams is just like the scene of him selling penny stocks. Like it's just the same scene, and it just was so much worse that they were trying to replicate a better movie, and the editing and the camera work and just and the script overall just was so not on par with those other movies, and it just wouldn't help but to remind you of better films. And so I was so frustrated that first hour again, because about halfway through the movie when stuff starts happening, and we'll get there, then I was interested because I didn't know this story, and once things started happening, I'm like, oh, okay, what's gonna happen? Like, I was invested.
Yeah.
But that first half was a complete
mess. It was a little rough.
It was
a little boring.
So
he's set up so now the company that his father and great grandfather and father have built is on its last legs.
It's ran out of a bar.
Yeah, it's ran out of the Double Tree or whatever it was called. And so I felt like they don't make him out to be a swindler. They make him out to be like a dude who was hardworking. He never quit. He busted his ass.
Absolutely.
He did whatever he had to do to keep
that company
and,
alive,
and those guys that he was working with afloat.
Did this guy seems like a good guy? Like, he's not a villain by any means.
No,
I mean, they're not. This story again is interesting, and I've never heard it. I just wish that someone was in charge of the script that could have presented the story.
It's
a little
also
better.
Like, I don't know if it was the script. I don't like. I think it was the director that made.
I agree. Like, it's if
I liked the story.
Movie has no energy.
Yeah.
And that's
the only thing.
This movie should have felt like a shot of adrenaline.
Yep.
Yes.
Because it's literally about people chasing gold. Like that's like, oh my god, we're gonna be rich beyond our wildest. We gotta go. There's none of that.
And how much energy did Wolf of Wall Street have?
Right.
And that's about people selling stocks.
Wolf of Wall Street felt like manic. That felt like. Like, I remember seeing that and being like,
geez. Some movies feel like a shot of adrenaline. Wolf of Wall Street was about cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that was a line of coke.
Yes.
But that brings
Martin Scorsese
knows good stuff.
He knows a thing or two about cocaine.
just a little bit.
But, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because that's my next point. And I turned to Katie in the first 15, 20 minutes and I go, I think Matthew McConaughey is sleepwalking through this movie. Like, it's not his fault, but there was the director should have been there to say, pick it up, turn in a different performance. This is not right for this film. You know,
do you think McConaughey's on the level now where directors. A first-time director would be
Was this a first-time director?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm just saying, like, maybe. But, I mean, like, let's say, for the sake of the argument, that he is
right.
a first-time director.
But this
a first-time director on this level. How about that? With working with, you know, an Academy. Was Bryce Dallas Howard ever nominated for an Oscar?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, Lady in the Water. That's what it was. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, like, do you know what I mean?
Just,
like,
it lacked, like, any kind of energy.
But do you
so
think
slow.
That, like, a director on, you know, it was, you go back to Richard Donner in Superman, where he had Brando, and it didn't matter what Donner said. Like, Brando was going to do what he was going to do. And,
right,
I, and
maybe
I don't,
McConaughey is too big for his britches.
And no, I don't think that, but I think it's possible that a first-time director working with a guy the level of McConaughey would be a little bit intimidated to tell him.
But it's his job, and he should have. That's the problem, is that, like, McConaughey's
I get,
there
though,
to,
if you're an inexperienced director, you're going to have a hard time
telling Matthew McConaughey. Right. Or just being like, hey, man, that wasn't exactly what we were looking for. Can you do that again?
Yeah, and he's directed Abandon, Syriana.
Syriana's the Clooney one? Or is that also a McConaughey one?
Yeah, it's Clooney.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. Okay, yeah, God, that was boring.
That was boring.
And then he did two TV movies, Metro, White City, and then now he's directed Gold. And then he's directing another movie called The Division.
He wrote the screenplay for Traffic. So it's
wow.
Man, that should have, you know, if he would have written this movie.
Maybe he's a better writer than he is a director.
But I think he wrote this too, though, didn't he? Or maybe he didn't. Oh, no, he did. See, he didn't do the script on this. See, that's the problem. Because if this movie would have been written, in, you know, with the
kind
same
of like the
tone
of
Traffic,
yeah,
it would have been good. Take this story with that flair.
Did you not like Traffic?
No, I remember. It's been a long time, but I remember enjoying Traffic.
Okay, maybe it was Crash.
Yeah, but I couldn't believe it. It was after we were first introduced to him 7 years later, and he was kind of narrating where he was now, and you see him in the bar, and I'm just like, this movie is way too quiet to be effective.
Yeah.
It was just way understated, and it should have been so much more. It just didn't work
for
the tone.
Yeah, so he's hustling. He's doing what he has to do to keep this company afloat. He ends up having a meeting with the guy from The Dark Knight who figures out that Bruce Wayne is Batman. Like, that's who that guy is, that actor. Remember in The Dark Knight, there's the guy who works for Wayne Industries who's just like, all this money's missing. This is the guy.
Oh, that's...
It's the same guy. And I was like, you're always a swarmy little
corporate
prick.
Well, I looked at it, I'm like, man, that guy... I've seen him before, and he's just this jerk kind of a...
That line was just like, you really think it's a good idea to go after a guy who may or may not dress up like a bat in the middle of the night? No, I'm going to do it. He's like, okay, good luck. Yeah. So he sits down with these two guys and he's like, look, I've got this property and we've got, you know, we're developing all this stuff. And he's giving them the hard sell.
Yeah.
He's doing, and they're just like, oh, but he thinks he's supposed to have a meeting with the other guy.
I really like what they were trying to do here. Like,
where he's getting no respect.
This should have been really effective, like more effective than it was, because I love the idea that him and his dad had all these relationships and he's supposed to meet with the big investor, and at this point he's just on such a low point, and so like
he can't even get a meeting with somebody he's known his entire life.
His friend of the family he can't even get a meeting with.
And I didn't realize till later in the movie like that it was that degree of... Like, I didn't realize he was trying to meet with basically a family friend.
I didn't pick up on that either.
Made that very clear.
I do like where he's like, if you were supposed to have a meeting with...
You'd be meeting with
him. You'd be meeting with him, wouldn't you?
With Stacey Keach. No, is it Stacey Keach or Powers Booth?
It's Stacey Keach.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love that.
I get those two confused all the time.
I do too.
I love what they're trying to do, and I love when it comes back around. So, like, I really liked that idea.
Yeah.
You know,
this
is one thing I really liked, how that ended up.
Yeah. So he goes home, and he's just like, he's bummed, like, and he also has a drinking problem, but, and so he's got Kay, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, who is just like, she never quits, like, she never gives up on him. She's with him the whole time, even when he's in, like, he has hit the bottom of rock bottom.
I mean,
there's nowhere left
to
go.
Fund this gold mining expedition, he's literally pawning her jewelry. He's
right.
Pawning
the
watch. He gives her the opening scene.
Which, how did he get there? I don't remember how he, like, did he just guess about Ecuador or Indonesia?
No, well, so he goes there because there's this miner that found this legendary gold strike.
Copper.
Not gold.
It was
yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
He was looking for some other thing. That,
okay. And, so he found this, and so, but he's had a little bit of a bad run of luck.
Okay.
And so he goes and finds this guy to be
and
like.
And he's just going on a whim?
Yeah. He's basically like.
Okay. A hope
you,
and a prayer.
You had a good run of luck, and now you're down on your, and now you're on,
I gotcha.
On the skids, and I had a great run of luck, and I'm on the skids, and okay. so we should partner up. Like
I didn't figure
like,
that out. I can, how did we get here?
Because it's like. Matthew McConaughey comes from a gold prospecting family, but by the time the like his father or grandfather was literally like
pickaxe on like the side of a mountain.
Gabby yeah. Hayes and, yeah. and Walter Brennan, like,
oh, go out there and find some gold.
But now he's three generations later and he knows how to get the capital, but right. he doesn't really know how to go find gold.
Right.
And so, plus, it's a lot more.
That's true.
Scientifically minded now, right?
Right, right.
And so he's going to find this guy and say, you know how to find the gold. I know how to get the capital so you can find the gold.
And we'll team
and
up.
And let's go.
So and, they, and I like and, them together.
And I like that scene
I like
where,
that actor,
where he's trying to convince him because, like, I thought Matthew McConaughey did a really good job of a guy who's like, a good salesman, but not a great salesman.
He's in that weird area.
And like,
yeah.
and like, you know that he could be right, but he simultaneously reeks of desperation.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't, and the guy's just like, are you kidding me?
Well, it's like, also like he, McConaughey is, you know, he's traditionally known for being in ridiculous shape.
Right.
So in this one, it looks like he's just pushing his gut out. Like it looks like he
it doesn't
just,
really look like he gained the weight.
No,
he's
no.
just sticking his stomach
yeah, right.
out. Yeah,
you,
I know.
It's like one of those.
Bad.
Where if he sucks it back in, you're like, oh, there's
well,
your six
if, like, when like, you look at his,
you look at his
back
arms.
And everything,
yeah.
yeah, and you're like, he still looks in super good shape, but with a stomach.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, it could be a beer
spot.
Gut. Like,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing where just like that video where the guy's like, how to get abs magically, and he slaps his stomach,
yeah.
and all of a sudden he's got abs.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah. So, but
I think he gained 50 pounds. I mean, he did gain weight, but it's just weird because he's the rest
muscle.
Of his body is still in great shape. It's just he's sticking his stomach out. You know?
But yeah, so he's wearing like a raggedy, you know, shirt.
Doesn't fit. He looks like he's had the same suit on for four
right,
days.
Right. And then in comes, I think it's, I can't think of this guy's name. He's been in a bunch of stuff. You'd recognize him if you saw him. But he's like in like a very nice, like white suit with like a blue shirt that's tailored to fit him, and
yeah, he's very
business.
Dapper.
Yes, yeah. So he's laying out his whole deal. He's like, "Look, man, we can do this. Like, I believe in you. You got to yeah. believe in me." And
the Indonesia scenes were great. Like
yeah.
this is where and going back to it later in the movie, I enjoyed it too. Like the everything that happens in Indonesia is a captivating story. Like I really like what they
mm-hmm.
did. So this is where I started to actually pay attention. I'm like, oh, okay, what are they going to do? How are they going to team up? And I liked their interactions together.
Right.
Yeah, because I was afraid this movie was going to be just like 2 hours of like, we're looking for gold, didn't find it. Looking for
yeah.
gold, didn't find it. Looking for gold, didn't
yeah.
find it. Looking for gold, found it. Yay. And
we
I
win.
Just, I was just like, oh,
yeah,
is this what we're going to do?
Don't be that movie.
I didn't
yeah.
know if they were just, yeah, at the very end going to strike gold and happily ever after because I didn't know the story.
Well,
so once
yeah.
we started to get, once we started to get into conflict, I'm
right.
like, yes, okay, now we're on board.
So they get everything squared away and they're, you know, they're, McConaughey kind of calls back to his buddies back in wherever they are, Reno.
Yeah.
And he like has them. He's like, look, man, sell it. And we'll get, we need X amount of dollars.
$700,000 is the number.
And he's like, how much, you know, they're selling, they're trying to get as much as they can. He's like, how much did you get? He's like $225,000. He's like, can you make it work? And he was like, I can make anything work.
Yeah.
And they get like enough stuff going where they've got, you know, mining equipment. They've got these miners. They've got everything yeah. coming in.
And in hindsight, now that you've seen the movie, it makes more sense now of how he makes it work.
Yeah.
Like how
oh,
he,
yeah.
how does he take a number that he came up with 700 and he's like, I'll make 225 work. Like, I
oh,
get it
totally
it.
Makes sense.
I get it now. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So they're digging and they're doing their thing and they're, you know, I didn't realize that they're just like coring. So they're just taking out like cylinders of the earth,
and then if it has enough gold, then they'll dig there.
Yeah, I never knew that was a thing. Like I had
yeah.
no idea. So they're sitting there getting these samples back, and there's nothing. Like there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And finally, McConaughey comes down with malaria.
Yeah,
which I liked the scene where he's just like, I don't care. Like just keep like
he, like, he keeps coming in and out of like. Basically a delirium.
Right.
You know.
And he finally says, he's like, just promise me that you're gonna find something.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay,
you're not gonna let me die.
It was
for
almost
nothing.
Like that scene in Teen America where he's like, she's like, just promise me you'll never die. I promise I will never die.
Yeah.
So he wakes, you know, he comes back
3 weeks later.
But at the same time, like, the miners had started to quit. Like, they'd all started to walk off because they weren't getting paid.
Right.
And then I feel like his name is Oscar Martinez, but I don't think that's
the actor.
Yeah. Oscar Martinez is the guy from
Edgar
the Office.
Ramirez.
Oh, okay. All
Edgar
right.
Ramirez.
Oscar
that
Martinez
actor.
Is the Oscar from The Office. Yeah.
This actor was in The Girl on the Train, which was a
recent. Oh, he's the psychiatrist that they think that she's having an affair with. That's right.
So I like this actor. Coincidentally, he was in Joy.
Oh,
just yeah.
He was. Oh, he's the boyfriend. He's the husband.
Yeah, the husband.
Yeah. The lounge singer.
I like that actor.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, I like that actor.
Yeah, he's
like,
good.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. So he kind of so that
he wakes
that
up.
Character,
three.
Well, that character kind of starts going to these villages.
Oh, does he give them clean water?
He teaches them how to get clean water.
He gets the materials and stuff so they can have clean water, and
right.
So then the villagers agree to work for him because. You know, that's
a big deal.
That if you don't have clean water, then that would be a very good thing for you.
Correct.
I did like it when in and out of delirium, McConaughey wakes up and goes
just constantly smoking.
I was like, he's sick and he's smoking the cigarette. Yeah. But no, I like it how he's like, there's $1,500 on this MasterCard and $300 on this diner's club. Use it all.
I remember at Blockbuster, like we on our keyboard, right? You had Visa, MasterCard, Discover,
your diner's
whatever.
Club.
And we had to, like, but you had to hit like Control F to
and
get the only. I had one in the 13 years I worked
I was like,
there.
Is that even still
I had
around?
One person use a
I
diner's
I didn't even
club.
Think diner's club was around in the 90s.
No, I had one person use it.
But wow. So you could actually put money on that.
I
thought
know,
it was. Just,
I don't know what diner's
I thought it was
club
just
is.
A membership
club
to go
was,
to a restaurant.
No, diner's club was kind of the first credit card. I think.
Wow,
like,
oh, really?
It was, that was like, and it was for.
So you
like,
go to restaurants
and
charge.
Yeah,
a
it
meal.
Was primarily it was, and it was for like businessmen. So you would go out to eat, and you would need to charge your dinners and keep track of it, and like that's at least that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
I, you
so
know.
We didn't grow up with that, but every time I saw it, I thought diner's club just meant you got like discounts at different restaurants.
I had the guy hand it to me, and I was like.
Huh. Yeah,
Diners Club. I'm just gonna type that in because I don't know where that key is.
It's a charge card company founded in 1950.
Wow.
It was
there were credit cards in 1950.
It was the first independent credit card company in the world, and it established the concept of a self-sufficient company producing credit cards for travel and entertainment. And I think where MasterCard and then Visa beat it out was that originally Diners Club was primarily for restaurants,
right?
And that. And that MasterCard was like, well, what if we could do this at all businesses? And so that was where they kind of beat it, you know, was like, well, at some point it was like
restaurants.
It was like, well, what do I want Diners Club for? Because I can only use it at restaurants and maybe hotels where I can use MasterCard
everywhere.
So I'll just use my MasterCard at the restaurants.
Little did they know is cash was just going to become obsolete altogether.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, nobody uses that anymore.
So I was correct. It was the first
you were,
credit
yeah.
card.
Look at you. Oh. That's why we have you on the show, Tom.
Every once in a while, yeah. I have weird things lodged in my
old timey reference.
That's an old timey reference. That's old timey reference. Yeah.
So he wakes up with the 3 weeks later with a pulling a little trickaroo on him.
Oh
know?
Yeah, he's just like, is it good news?
It's not good.
It's not good. It's great.
It's great.
And of course, you know, that was a good scene. Like, he was just like, we did it. And, you know, and you
and
felt
his underwear jumping on the other
guy.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Where, like, the dude put everything into this. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to make it. So he goes home.
See, again, I think that's the problem is with the director because it felt a little bit hokey to me with him jumping on him. And, like, I didn't feel the energy of them really.
I
saw what they were trying to do. I get that they were excited and all that. But with the camera angles and the way it was filmed, I'm just
I felt
like.
I could always see the strings being pulled.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a professional film. It didn't feel like a legitimate film with a director that knew what he was doing.
Was it
to
McConaughey's
frame the
skid
shots.
Mark? Is that what it was?
Yeah. No, and it's like, man, even if they were doing the same thing but a different director like Scorsese had the camera, I feel like that scene would have been 10 times more
like
powerful.
It, I feel like it's not fair to talk about Scorsese. Like, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Oh, I was just throwing that out.
Oh, okay,
No. I think that if...
I don't think Scorsese is the only director who could handle the material.
Absolutely.
But I just...
Not his panache. I just mean if a competent director, if someone...
This movie had no style or again, energy.
That's
exactly.
Like, it should have been, like, that camera should have been moving and
exactly.
whipping around.
Exactly.
And like,
but I feel like there were shots like that. Like, when they come over that hill... and you see like the mining site that he wants to go to.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge scene.
There were a couple.
Like that scope is massive.
There were a couple like that, but overall, but again, see, every scene
it should have been used for the more boring stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I see
like
bring
like, it. You know, Wolf of Wall Street and American Hustle, Social Network.
Yeah.
Like they use camera work to inject action into the scenes
boring subjects.
That are boring subject matter. And so like, you know, it when they're explaining, or even to a lesser degree, what was that Steve Jobs movie with that Aaron Sorkin wrote?
Yeah,
like,
the Fassbender one.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was just people like screaming at each other for 2 hours, but that camera was going
camera has to be a character. And like, so when they were celebrating, instead of doing a wide shot with them jumping like 20 feet away from the camera, do a circular shot around them and get up close and put some flair to it. So like, I just felt like every scene was so understated. It felt so dull compared to the same exact actors. It's not the actors, it's the camera work, and it's this director. And that's the problem with
this
movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like, they're celebrating and Matthew McConaughey, it's funny, whatever, but man, it could have been 10 times better.
Right.
And that's how I felt all throughout with these scenes. And that's what was so disappointing, because when we get into this story, you're like, this is a compelling story. Like,
it's a very good story. Tom's absolutely right. It is a great story. Just not handled very well.
Yeah, I was totally invested in the story.
Once we get to Indonesia and we are off to the races,
find gold, I was in.
Spoilers.
Well, that's what we do.
That's true.
I said quote unquote.
No, I know, but I.
But seriously though, once they did that, I was in until the end of the movie, and I'm like, wow, I cannot believe that.
Who
movie.
Also shows up at the end of the movie? Tony Gibble.
Like
the guy from Black Mirror that I think is awesome.
Oh,
he's shown up like randomly in a
bunch
of movies.
I'm invested, and I'm also spending the entire movie going, God damn, I wish this was better.
Yes, exactly.
I felt the exact same
way. I could not believe that they were able to, but I wrote this movie off that first 15 minutes, and you know the first hour was pretty bad. But like after 15 minutes, I go, this is just a piece of trash. I don't know how I'm even going to find anything.
I was constantly trying to get everybody not to see this movie. Like, are we sure we're doing one?
But no, I'm glad I did though, because of the story. And like, again, an hour into it, I was like, I cannot believe I'm interested in this, knowing how it started.
Yeah,
and they did with the story. But anyway, so they find gold.
He gets home, and then they're again, we're off to the races. We're like, they've got more investors, and their stock is starting to jump. And they move.
They get
back.
Stock.
Yeah, they get stock. Sorry,
his company was not publicly traded,
right?
Yeah.
So it becomes publicly traded. They
it
get
goes
their
from
old
penny stock. To
who's the guy that they team up with? Who is that guy? He looked with a bald head. I couldn't recognize him.
Was he on House of Cards? And I think
it's Corey Stoll. He was Yellow Jacket in Ant-Man.
I was saying he's the villain in Ant-Man.
Yeah. Who's like, also that guy's great. Like that guy doesn't get a lot of credit, but he was on. There was a show on Stars called The Boss, I think, with Kelsey Grammer, where he was the mayor or the
governor.
That was
on Showtime.
I think it was on Stars.
I'm pretty sure that was on Showtime.
Either way, that show was awesome. Like the first season, but he's like on that show, he is kind of, he's like a down and out kind of politician, like a street politician that's got some demons. And then Kelsey.
Nope, it was on Stars. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah. Don't get to do that very often.
I don't.
Wow. But yeah, I couldn't.
But he's
place
like,
him,
he's
but,
so good. But he was also he is bald. Like he's naturally bald. But so there's a show, he was on a show on FX called The Strain.
Yeah.
Where they give him this awful wig.
Yeah.
And it is like
that's a GDT show, right?
What?
GDT?
What is that? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't he produce that or whatever?
He wrote
or created it.
He created it. Yeah. Chuck Hogan and GDT. Yeah. Guillermo del Toro for our people.
Like,
yeah.
Grand Theft Detroit.
So
that'd be GTD.
Shut up.
Oh, I'm saying.
So that they're off to the races and they're making money hand over fist, and they don't really know. Like he has never been in this situation, so he's not really savvy, but he's also super headstrong about this fine. Like he's like, it's mine, it's ours. They also, I should say, they sign a contract on a napkin that says we're 50-50.
It's basically like there's no, it's just 50-50.
50-50.
Yeah.
You get
and then
half,
Matthew
I
McConaughey is like, I like
keep it.
He's like, I'll get your copy. He's like,
nah, whatever.
You know, he's like, keep
and
it.
I will say, like, the entire time he says, he's like, it's not about the money.
Yeah.
I just want to find it.
Right.
And that's
he's so invested in.
Because I have a conversation with somebody about the end of this movie about, like, what did he really know? And I don't believe he knew a thing.
I have to believe he didn't know a thing.
I don't think he. I believe.
I think he was too dumb.
Yeah.
That's and not, I think not
he was
in a bad
I
way.
I don't even.
Oblivious.
I won't even say dumb. I think ultimately he was too honest.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He was a hustler, and he would hard sell you, but I don't think he would steal from you.
No.
You know?
I think he's the heart of gold. Like, he didn't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
So, there's your tagline.
The main problem with this character that hurts him throughout the movie until the end is that
it hurts him twice.
He is just... His grandfather started the company. His father made it very successful, and under his command,
I think it's his great grandfather.
Yeah, and under his command, though, the company fell into ruins,
which wasn't his fault, though. Like, they kind of say, like, we hit a recession and we hit this, and they're like,
but he's trying to restore his good name, and so that's his goal, and so he kind of sets logic and business to the side, and he has more heart. He's just,
sure,
I want to make my name something again. And so that was what was most important to him. So eventually, you know, their deal kind of tries to get bought out by
first they sign on with Corey Stoll, I think is his name, who was like this third party investor who was going to manage their funds.
Yeah. So they need money. When you find gold, you need money to dig hundreds of millions of dollars.
So he goes back to Stacy Keach, and they have this great meeting where, you know, he's just like, yeah, well, of course I'll invest. And then you've got the guy in the corner. Yeah.
I love what they're trying to do here.
And this is the scene where I was like, this is the scene where I think it's solidified Matthew McConaughey's take on this character, that he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because he had every opportunity to
that other guy, and that's what I thought he was going to do. But he was just like,
"I want you in charge of my affairs. I want you in charge of my account."
Because he knows he's got this guy by the balls.
Yeah.
And I did love that moment again. Like, that was clever, and I really liked it.
Right.
I just feel like I wish they would have set it up better in the beginning. That's the problem with that first meeting.
Yeah.
I like what they were doing and going for, but they should have set it up a little differently.
Right. So now he's living the high life. They're living out of a hotel in Reno. They've opened the stock market, and they're having this massive party. And Kay, this entire time, who's kind of been just standing off to the side and just being like his support system.
She's there no matter what.
She doesn't want to be here.
But yeah.
This is not the life that she wants. And she says, she's like, I'm happy working at the
store. She wants comfort, but she doesn't need
all of this.
Yeah. Well, she also realizes how fake it is, because she hears
Corey Stoll talking.
Corey Stoll is talking to this guy, and he basically relates.
His
Matthew
name
McConaughey.
Is Corey Stoll, right?
Yeah, I looked him up.
I'm not going to keep saying this.
Yeah, Corey Stoll. Okay. Yeah. So,
Corey Feldman. Yeah.
So basically, he's in a bar talking to another business associate.
He calls him a hick or something, a raccoon. Yeah.
So she overhears them talking bad about him, and that's when she realizes that all these people aren't his friends. They don't care about him, and so she tells him that. Meanwhile,
and at the same time, is it Alice Eve? Is that who that is?
I don't know who that girl was.
I think she was in Star Trek. I think she was in the second Star Trek.
Okay. Meanwhile, you know, he's loving the attention, and he's talking to this female.
He's got like the typical '90s blonde. This one is a gold digger.
Yes.
Like, this absolutely. One, absolutely. And she, like, she kind of says, she's like, look, man, I just want to get out of here. And he was just like, why don't you back me up, or why don't you do this? And you never believed in me. And it was just kind of like,
2K.
But she did, bro.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 2K.
Well,
sorry.
He was very drunk. I mean, this is the thing. He had money. He had success. He has beautiful women giving him attention. And
right.
So he was drunk, not just on alcohol. Literally, he was drunk. But
on
he was drunk
power.
On success and power. And so he was forgetting this woman that was there
Rachel
for
Taylor.
Him. Okay.
I was way off.
And so, yeah, so they have this blow up, and she leaves him at the hotel.
Yeah, she bails. And it's funny. Oh, has everybody watched Jessica Jones?
Yeah.
She's Patsy Walker.
Is that her friend?
Yeah. It's Hellcat.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is an old man. When they brought that character on the show, I was like, wow. Okay.
Well, they only have so much to work with.
Yeah,
with these
they
characters
are officially
like,
running out of superheroes.
Yeah, they're using the characters they have at their disposal.
Yeah. So she, and again, like now, so she was wearing like a very '90s popular style of dress. But when he goes upstairs, she's in like a tank top and jeans and like just a regular old jacket, and she's leaving. So he goes, like, she leaves. He's just like, fine, go, you leave. And then he goes back
the next
to living
thing they're
this,
at a party.
And then, you know, this girl is in the, you know, they're going to hook up and blah, blah. And then here comes Bruce Greenwood.
Yeah.
Who, I love Bruce Greenwood. Anytime he comes, but he's doing, like, I didn't know what accent he was doing. And that, like, I think he was Australian.
Yeah, he was doing something. I couldn't really tell either, but it was he was putting out a very...
He does a great Batman voice. He was the voice of Batman and Bruce Wayne and Batman Under the Red Hood. Nice. He was very good.
He was Kennedy in 13 Days.
He was, yeah.
He was also...
Oh, he was.
He was also Mark Harmon's replacement on St. Elsewhere. Mark Harmon left and they wanted a new heartthrob doctor.
They got Bruce Greenwood,
and
huh?
He was the heartthrob back then. Yeah. All right. He played a real douche. And,
I could see that too. He was the president in National Treasure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but he played a real... And I remember the storyline is he ends up, he like doesn't want to work on gay people because he's afraid he's going to get AIDS.
Is that right?
And then he's...
He was quite the heartthrob back then.
Yeah, I mean, he was...
Oh, for
the
sure.
Long hair.
Yeah. 80s mullet. Back 80s that was hair. A thing,
yeah,
you know?
Wow.
The MacGyver mullet.
Yeah, and the Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I remember the storyline. He's working on someone who has AIDS, and he has to give him a shot, and he doesn't want to, and he wears gloves because he's like, he doesn't want to touch him. And then as he's, there's some sort of happenstance, and as he's turning around, he drops the needle, and it lands on him, and he ends up giving himself AIDS.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I think you and Dan talked about this before.
Yeah. St. Elsewhere is such a good show.
Oh,
such
man.
A brilliant show.
Yeah, he was also in 8 Below with Paul Walker. Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
So anyway, his character is like the number one gold miner. He is,
but he's not anymore. Like now,
he's not?
No, his company becomes like they say he owns the most gold.
Yeah,
like,
in the world, he has the most gold claims in the world.
But now they say McConaughey kind of says he's like not anymore. He's like,
according to their find,
right. McConaughey's in the process of surpassing him because of
he found
the purity of their find.
10 million ounces of gold or just no. This guy is the number one guy.
Yeah, and he's like, so this is how, and he gets out of the pool, and I liked this scene where he's butt ass naked.
Yeah, I love that.
And he's just like, so this is how it happens, huh?
Yeah,
and he was like,
yeah,
and again. Would have been so much better with a different director.
I know. Yeah. That's the problem. Again, it's just too understated.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, no, I liked, again, I liked
and
the
you
idea.
You could see it getting set up so much.
You could.
Yeah. Like, you knew there was no surprise or haha. It was just like, you're like, oh, this is where we're going.
So we're just
going
to continue the story.
And then did it.
Right. Yeah. So then fast forward and then.
They're in a meeting and I like, so in every meeting they'd had so far, like they'd both been there. So I thought where this was going to go. Is he was going to sell the sell it, and the other guy was going to get pissed because he was not involved in the deal. It's not the way it goes.
Well, again, because he lets his hubris,
his ego get the better of him. So the offer is $300 million, and it becomes like
they take his name off the claim.
This guy gets the claim, but they always get like a percentage of whatever's coming out of there as well as the $300 million.
I didn't realize that. I thought he was just done for.
I didn't realize they got a percentage.
I think they got like 15%.
No, that's later on. They're just buying him out.
Yeah, okay.
This is $300 million.
$300 million in like 1991.
Yeah, I mean, he turned this down. All he had to do was do nothing. I mean, I know he put the work up and the risk, but it was a big reward.
Well, he says he's like they're taking my name off of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all about my name. Yeah, that's all it was about. He didn't care about the money, and he says it. He's like, it's not about the money. But that's all he had to do, and this is where his partner's going to get mad.
Yeah. So
you also, you know, for all the kind of grief he takes for being too proud to let them take his name off of it, they could have made that deal if they'd have just called it, if they left his name on it, or even hyphenated it and said it's the whatever Wells mind or whatever. Yeah. Like, but, you know, so at the end of the day, they're just as proud and arrogant as he is because they let a deal, they just as much
let a massive
they
deal
lost.
Go-
ultimately more money than he did over
ultimately they made out great on the deal
they
did very well.
So he ends up like we flash back to Indonesia and all of a sudden the military is showing up and they're shutting the mine down. So he calls back to the United States, the partner calls back to the United States, he's like, what the f-? is going on? And he was just like, look, here's the deal. And he tells him the whole story.
And his partner, and he's just like, you signed the deal, right? And he was made a deal.
I was going to, but...
They wouldn't put my name on it, you know?
It turns out...
It was both their names. Yeah. In fairness.
Yeah. So it turns out that, like, Bruce Greenwood's character has all of these ties to the one guy.
It was he has so many connections from all his years of doing this.
Right.
That
you just shut him down.
Matthew McConaughey wasn't smart enough to get that the offer was, we will give you all this money or
we'll just kill it.
Screw you, we'll just take it.
Right.
We have enough juice that we can just...
And that's what he says.
We can just step in and take it.
They keep talking about that, my family and all this money, and then they were going to take it anyway.
And see that, that's, again, to your point, Tom, he's too good of a person. He didn't even think someone could do that to him.
I also think he's too dumb. Like, he's not that... He wasn't that business savvy that he thought that
Bruce
Greenwood
would... Well, I don't think it's dumb. I think it's just...
I think, you know, I don't know that for all their gold mining that they've done international work at this level.
Right.
And so, like, he doesn't really get how shady it can get when you get into these other countries. Because in America, there is going to be a system of laws and protections.
Sure.
And I'm not saying people don't get screwed, but not like this.
Right.
Where they basically picked up the phone and said, we want that. And then the government stepped in and nationalized it and took it.
Right.
You know?
So now their company is collapsing. Like, the company's collapsing again.
Their stock is
plummeting. McConaughey... Oh, no. This is later. So he ends up devising... Like, they end up figuring out this deal where they go and talk to the son of this Indonesian...
Of the president of this country.
Yeah. And they work out this deal where they'll sell this guy the mine. They'll get...
15%.
They're going to cut... They're going to cut the son of the dictator in on the deal.
Right. They try to give
the son's a playboy.
The son is also... He's your typical, stereotypical mob son, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Where, like... The mob boss is like the dude that knows what's going on. And then you've got the idiot son who just keeps screwing everything up.
Yeah.
Unless you watch The Godfather, where Michael doesn't screw anything up.
Well, one of the sons knows how to do it. Sonny kind of knows how to do it. And Fredo is
Fredo. You son of a bitch.
So and basically this will be the son's way to redeem himself.
Speaking of that, you know, you can't find that Godfather saga anywhere.
What do you mean?
Oh, like the re-edited version? Yeah.
It's impossible.
Oh.
I tried.
Right.
Anyway, so they cut the son in, and they have effectively cut out the bank.
Right.
And they've cut out Bruce Greenwood.
So for them trying to screw Matthew McConaughey over, Wells over, and his partner, now they're doing the exact same thing. Well, they've just cut out the bank
and the financier,
you know?
Yeah.
And so now they've kind of had the leg up. Aha! And they're only getting 15%, and so...
But it's still like 100...
What's the guy's name again?
Kerry Stoll.
So he ends Corey up saying... Stoll. So he's talking to his boss, and he's like, that's a terrible deal. That's 15%.
He's like, what's 15% of like $1 billion?
Yeah, it's more than that. I calculated it out. It's $4.5 billion. So whatever.
And
it's
also like, what percentage are you getting, Mr. Bad Deal?
Yeah, right.
He's,
right.
He's like, I'm sure you'll land on your feet.
Oh man, what a great line where he's like, and that's another line that I liked where it's so understated. Yeah. Like that actor, the guy who runs the bank. Is just, he's like, I'm sure you're laying on your feet. And he was just like,
that's great. So see, that should be understated. Like that's the kind of line that makes so much more, it's so much more powerful understated, but it's the same thing as him hiring the errand boy, you know?
Sure.
Like I love those kind of moments in a movie. And so
I love
those
kind of moments
were
in movies like this.
Yeah, you know, I love, I mean? Like, when it's like, stick it to him, you know, and the good guy wins, and so he's been fired now because he made this terrible deal trying to screw him over.
Corey Stoll. Anyway, so now they're back to living the high life, and everything's great. And then he's out, and all of a sudden, he's out one night. He goes into he's going into the office, and the people are everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what the
throwing stuff at his
he's
car?
Like, what is going on? So he gets into the building, and he was just like, what is happening? And so he's had the same like ring of buddies that have been with him from the beginning.
Yeah,
and they tell him, like, they turn on the news. And it turns out that the gold they had found is not like it was too smooth.
Yeah,
like there was something wrong with the gold.
Like so when they pull gold out of the river, it's smooth
from
because
the water
erodes it and smooths it out.
Right.
And they should have been finding rough gold. And so someone had been, they call it salting.
Salting.
And they had been taking their core samples and sprinkling and gold to right. make. So when they sent them off, because they send them off to an independent lab to have them tested,
right?
And so they show you earlier like how they
there's a big deal like how they do
take
it.
This and they put it and they seal the bag and then they double seal it right. and then they and then it's escorted and so you know that it's legit. And so like there's really only one person who would have had yeah. access.
Well, there's two.
Yeah,
but you know,
but yeah,
right.
So, but
they gotta
although
say,
honestly, ultimately,
there's
really
only one person who's hands on
who right. could have been physically there because Matthew McConaughey wasn't
the
there enough. It's
right.
the other guy,
yeah. And I did like so earlier in the movie, McConaughey is kind of talking to his one buddy who's like a cop, who's like a guy who always plays like an office worker or a cop,
yeah.
in
yeah.
the background. And he was like, "Look,
put
man,
some money away.
Put some money away. Like this
like,
may not
sell
last.
The stock while it's
sell
hot.
A little bit of it.
Yeah, and, not all of it, yeah. but some of it. Yeah,
and put it away, and you'll be fine." And so like he comes in, and obviously the stock is now plummeting, and he's just like, "Well, you put some away, right?" And he's like,
"I thought I was going to keep going."
Those, he's like, "No," and he felt, you know, of yeah. course now he feels awful. And this is like this was the scene where I was like, "Did he know?" But I mean, like the way he handles it, he's like, "You tell me right now. Did you like the his buddy is yeah. like, did you know what the fuck was going on?"
Yeah,
and he was like, "I swear." He's like, "How could you ask me that?" He's like, "Are you really asking me that right now?" He's like, "Yes."
Yeah,
and he was like, "No, I had no idea." And then this is where the feds show up,
and you find out that the narration of the film the entire time has been his
interview,
his interview with the feds, which right. again I think could have been yeah. a great reveal.
See, I didn't like how they set this up. They yeah. should not have shown them before this.
Right.
That was the problem. So okay, most
should
movies
have shown who
the feds interviewing them halfway
been talking
through
to the feds the whole time.
Because
I
here's
see,
the
I
deal.
See.
So most movies that start out like this, most movies where you're getting interviewed and you go back and tell your story, start out in the interview room. Or think about Interview with a Vampire, right?
Yeah.
They're interviewing him, and he goes back and tells his story. The
wait,
girl
so how, wait. That's you're right. How does he end up in the back of his car? At the end of that movie, Christian Slater's,
yeah.
spoilers, from
oh, Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
Like, Christian Slater's driving away. Is he interviewing yeah. Brad Pitt? Yeah,
is the Tom Cruise? I can't remember.
No, I think he's interviewing Brad Pitt.
Is he interviewing
and
Brad
then Tom Cruise
is in the
pops,
back of the car.
Pops
up
the
spoilers.
Back of the car.
Yeah,
right.
So that movie's great. They set up. He's interviewing Brad Pitt, and then he tells his story. Right.
Right.
I'm thinking of other movies. I don't know if it's Wolf of Wall Street, whatever. But movies like this,
Wolf of Wall Street, they break the fourth wall, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talks
they do.
Yeah.
The
camera.
In movies that you're talking to the feds about the story, I like it how you set it up. He's telling the story, and then you go back and
the
see what happens.
The reveal
right?
is that
this movie randomly, like 45 minutes into it, they show him talking to the feds, like just kind of a throwaway
yeah.
scene, and it's like you should have like, built your story around that
it,
premise,
bookended it,
or you should have had it a reveal.
Yeah, yeah.
But
completely
the fact
concealed
that they peppered in or salted in for you know a couple scenes randomly, throwaway scenes. It was
right.
so stupid because it would have been a great reveal.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait a minute, you didn't start off telling the story like you were being interviewed, and then you just were all of a sudden, and
yeah.
I just did not like it at all.
No.
That's where the editing and. Yeah, the way they edited this movie, it was just stupid. It was poorly
yeah,
executed.
That was not. So anyway, he's telling the feds are now, you know, he's back at the hotel. The front desk gal is like, "Hey, how long are you going to stay
yeah.
here?"
All of a sudden, he's like Rufus T. Firefly yeah. trying to sneak out of the hotel.
He's just like, "We have to settle your bill." And he was like, yeah, I'll be down in a minute. Yeah. So he goes upstairs and the feds are there. The feds are already there and they start doing the interview. And again, like the guy that I keep referencing, we see him pop up and stuff. All and I love this guy. Like this guy is so good. He was in what's that Liam Neeson one we just did with the monster and the kid.
Monster Calls.
He was the dad in that.
Oh, that's right.
He was in that awesome Black Mirror episode. He was in Rock and Rolla. We won't mention the Fantastic Four. So he's just telling him a story, and you know the guy is the federal agent is just kind of like And he's like, so, and we're finding out that, like, looking at Kevin.
What was it?
Edgar Ramirez.
Edgar Ramirez. He kind of is like when you go back and you look at these scenes, he's been the guy spearheading, you know, like Matthew McConaughey was passed out for a week.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was gold. He kind of forced the bank deal. He was just like, look, I think it's probably a good idea. And McConaughey believed him. So like this entire time, so
he's been playing.
And he's just like, you're never going to see him again. And he was like, yeah. Why? What's wrong with him? And he was like, dude, he pissed off a lot of people.
Very powerful.
This could
people,
go
yeah.
one of two ways. Yeah. And I do, and like the scene, I thought we were watching like what had happened to him.
Yeah.
So like he's in a helicopter with all of the,
well, you're
federal police.
I think you're skipping some stuff because there's the scene where he gets. Matthew McConaughey gets the award and he shows up.
Oh,
and he's like, I didn't think
That's right.
You were going to show.
Yeah, he gets like
the golden pickaxe.
The golden pickaxe
from
Prospector magazine.
Yeah.
I guess that's a thing.
It's called Gold Miners Magazine.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's called, it's like, it, the name of it is so silly, and I guess that's what the thing is really called. The magazine is called Gold Miners Magazine.
I was Googling, I did find a prospecting and mining journal.
Huh. He gives this impassioned speech, and then all of us, like, you know something's up, because he gets up and, like, halfway through the speech and walks out.
Yeah.
And you never see him again.
Well, there's also the scene where they're at the hotel, and he's like... You know, he's like, I went mining for gold, but
I found a
I like that line, though.
And the guy's like,
that's the corniest
thing. That's the corniest thing.
Yeah, they owned it. It was self-aware. Yeah, so it was fine.
I liked that line a lot. That was a very funny line. So he's just kind of like, they found a body. Yeah,
and this happens before they, it goes from this scene to them discovering that this is a hoax.
Right.
Like, this is where
they've lost everything.
We skipped over it.
This
drops in. And he, like, he gets this award, the golden pickaxe.
He thinks he's made it, like, he's, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And now, oh, that's right. So he gets messed up. He ends up calling Kay.
Yeah.
And, you know, she doesn't answer the phone. And then he goes into the office, and he's all hungover.
Right.
And that's where all hell is broken loose.
Yeah.
That's right. So he kind of says, he's like, well, they found a body in the jungle, and it could be him, but, you know, we don't really know. We have to assume that it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
But the face and fingerprints have been eaten by wild boars.
Right. So when he says that, I was like, well, he's not dead. That's not a thing. I know for a fact he's not dead.
No. So in comic book movies, he's not dead. But in real life.
Right. No, yeah, right. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of like, and the Fed is, he's like, look, man, you have to believe what I'm saying. He's like, I'm so in debt at this point. I have to go.
Gold Digger Magazine was the name of it.
Is that a real thing?
That's because I remember how ridiculous the magazine was. Cause I'm like, was that a real magazine? They called it Gold Digger Magazine.
Is it just real?
Well, I don't know about that, right. But in the movie, it was called Gold Digger Magazine.
Yeah, I know in real life, there's the ICMJ's Prospecting and Mining Journal.
Yeah, Prospector Magazine would sound like a real thing or whatever, but I just remember in the movie, I'm like, they called their magazine Gold Digger Magazine?
Like it sounds like a penthouse knockoff.
Yeah, anyway, it's just stupid.
Yeah, well, and you wouldn't call it, because gold digging is too specific.
Yeah,
because
it's also about silver and copper.
Right. Like, you're not just
minerals.
Looking for gold.
Yeah.
So he's just like, look, man, I have to figure out a way to get the frick out of this hotel and skip out on my bill.
Right.
He's like, do you think I would do that?
Well,
if I had money?
Well, what I thought was weird is, to me, the obvious thing to point to was that he could have taken $300 million
and didn't.
And just skated.
Yeah.
Like, and he said no because he wanted his name on this thing.
Right.
And they even acknowledged that the guy's like, he's like, you walked away from $300 million.
He's like, that was a really dumb movie. He's like, it was a dumb movie.
That all ultimately is what I think clears his name, because if he knew he was scamming the whole time and he turned down the money to put his name on it,
right,
then his name would just be drugged through the mud when he's eventually found out.
Right.
So that would be a stupid plan. That wouldn't make any sense.
Well, this way you're
screwing. That'd be the best of both worlds. I get the money and you're taking my name off.
Done. He goes back to like his hometown, because it's like outside Reno, and he goes to see Kay. Right?
Yeah, after he leaves there, he goes to see Kay.
But there's another scene where he goes to see her, and she's talking.
Well, that's before.
Like,
we really skipped over that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're like,
he finds out that she's kind of like flirting with a guy
and
he throws the furniture store and stuff.
Flowers or whatever, and he takes off.
Once he got the 15% deal and was.
That's when he, came, that's when he came back.
He
went
to visit Kay, but it seemed like she was already interested in someone else and threw the presents.
Like. Right. So now he's back. Like, he's got nothing left. He goes back. And
she invites him in. It's like, you got some mail and things.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, so are you. Like, I have to believe, like, they're back. They're
it seemed
back,
like they were kind of...
Back to... Like, it's just, like, it picked up right where they left off.
Right.
You
that's
know?
What it seemed like. They picked up where they left off. He got some mail. And
I do like the line where the Fed goes, don't go, like, on any expensive trips or buy anything.
Yeah.
And the guy's... And McConaughey's like, okay.
Yeah. Like, not a problem.
Right. So he... And then there's a check. Like, well, he opens it...
Well, he opens up an international...
They talk about that there's $164 million missing.
So that they end up telling us that this guy has been selling off his stock into different shell companies, and he's moved all his money around. But now he's the one that made off with all the money. Nobody right. has any money except for this guy. So he opens this international envelope, and inside the envelope is
the contract on the napkin.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's a check for
It's a wire transfer to an offshore account
for $82 million.
Yeah, exactly half of the money that was missing. Right. And then the contract says 50-50 partners.
50 partners.
And that's where it ends.
Yeah, you know, I think the story would have been
damn good story.
It's a very good story.
It is. And it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
And the guy really that salted the mines, like, he really did scoot and get killed. They found they found his body, and the theory is that he was thrown out of a helicopter, and they don't know if it was by the government or not, but most people assume that it was. And but this guy, I don't think, ever
recovered,
got this magic check to show up, because honestly, like, the movie ends like, haha, he made money after all. And I'm like, first off, like, well, that's kind of sad, because he made this month, like, this money, look how many people got screwed out of
it.
It
was like a pyramid scheme.
It was basically
he didn't do it on purpose.
He didn't, but right. I don't think that the movie was saying that, I don't either. And because if he was in on it, they would have just taken the money and ran,
right?
And but
him getting that money kind of undermines the entire point of him being such a good person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he got that money on so many people's bad fortunes.
But the other thing, too, is he can't spend it.
He can't touch it.
Well, they have to abscond with it. I mean, they have to leave the country eventually and live on some island. Like, that's the only way he could spend it, theoretically. Right. So, it didn't really... Like, what they were trying to do was a happy ending, aha moment, really clever.
He got
away.
But it's like, if you think about it, it's like, one, he made that $82 million on the back. Because you see his car getting mobbed. It's not hedge fund managers and Wall Street. It's like
people.
Joe
the one
Q
guy
public.
He knocks into going into the building. Hey, can you just tell me where my money is?
Right.
Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah. And so... Yeah. But that's also why you don't invest in things you don't understand. Yeah. Like, you know, if you want to invest, you do mutual funds and where it's diversified, blah, blah, blah. But still, you know, that money came from John Q. Public. But also, there's no realistic way for him to spend that money.
No,
they have to disappear.
Without outing himself.
He could buy groceries.
Yeah. And in real life, that guy did end up moving to the Caribbean or something.
Oh,
but somebody broke into his house and held him hostage, basically demanding their money, and he ended up getting out of that somehow. Huh. And then he died 3 years later from a brain aneurysm.
Oh, well, all right.
So
interesting.
Yeah. But there really was a company that believed all this.
Usually with these movies, they give you the little bookend where it's just like, this is what happened to this guy. But if he died 3 years later of a brain aneurysm,
it's heavily fictionalized because the guy's name, they changed his name.
I see.
Like, they, you know.
Yeah, if this movie if this story had been in the hands of a better filmmaker.
Because it says at the beginning, inspired by, not based on. Like, that's
how you know.
The subtle differences of, like,
right.
Inspired by is, like, very loosely. Based on is, like, maybe.
Yeah.
And then if somebody's really, then they'll say the following is a true story.
You don't
see that very often. But
you know, you saw the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they say this is based on actual events.
Yeah.
And it sort of is.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it was in the hands of a better filmmaker, I think it would have been a Christmas release. Like, this would have been Oscar bait.
They thought, and I get how if you're on set watching this movie and you think you might have something.
McConaughey's turning in, you know, the character portrayal that he's doing.
I can see why you might have something. And then, but when you finally put it together,
you're like, dang it.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's such a crapshoot when you make a movie. I mean, we do this
so often.
Yeah.
You don't realize how hard it is.
There's so many variables that can screw up a movie.
Right.
Sure.
And then even when you get all the variables right, sometimes just magic happens and
like Monster Squad.
And it makes and it can make a good movie great. And other times magic happens and it can make a not very good movie great. Because I mean, like a good example
Jaws.
I always think of. No, I was actually thinking Caddyshack. Caddyshack is not a good movie.
No.
But there's something about it that makes it a great movie.
It's got a spark.
I was thinking like the mistakes of the shark not working and making it
a good movie. Jaws is a good example.
Sometimes
things can just happen that make it
happy
better.
Yeah. But I just meant sometimes a movie, you know, the movie isn't all that good, but it's still something. It rises above what it is on some level.
Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a movie that on paper should
not have worked.
And it was way over budget, and they didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, and Caddyshack's the same way. Like, it wasn't over budget, but, like, it was just a hodgepodge of scenes with no through line.
Right.
And they fixed it somewhat, but it still ultimately is a hodgepodge of scenes with no significant through line. And,
there's a golf game. That's
yeah. There's a scene where, like, if you think about it, there's a scene where she's like, oh, I'm pregnant. And then in the next scene, I'm not pregnant.
Right.
Like, why is that even in the movie?
Yeah.
Why is that even there? But you know what? I don't care. You know why? Because the ball, funny. Danny.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I got all the other stuff. Like, oh, I'm like, oh, are we doing this? And the next scene, no, we're not doing this. Oh, good.
I think that was the first time
I didn't want to do that.
I saw boobs. Like, in that. Like, I was like, oh, boobs.
Yeah, I'm scarred for life. I think the first time I saw boobs was J.P. Morgan in the Gong Show movie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry for you.
That was the first R-rated movie I saw in a hotel room in Texas.
The first Basic Instinct was for sure the first R-rated movie
I ever
saw.
It was like we were in a hotel room in Texas in like 1980 or 81, and it had cable.
Oh.
That was a big deal.
Wow.
And we were like, oh. And so our choices were Gong Show movie, and I'm like, okay. And then we saw Airplane, and oh my God, watching Airplane for the first time.
So it's one of those things that you'll never get back.
Talk about the joy of discovery. Yeah. Like, I mean, just like we had no idea, like, you know, my sister and I, we didn't even know what it was.
Sure.
We were just like, okay, and this thing just kicks in.
Oh man.
And
it's
oh
nonstop.
My God, I don't know that I've ever laughed that hard at a movie in the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's good
stuff.
I
mean, what a great movie to find when you're 10 or 11 years
to
old.
To find, like, without any...
No,
knowing nothing about
walking
it.
In cold
yeah.
and then someone handing you Airplane.
Go.
Oh,
it's not 30 years of people saying how great Airplane
right.
is.
No.
Yeah.
And I tried to do the same thing with Zach. I was like, you should just watch this movie. And he's like, that looks dumb. And I was like, you're right. It does. You should watch this movie. And then he started showing to his.
Yeah.
He's
like,
God,
see this
was.
Movie.
He's 16 now. This is when he was like 12.
Still, though.
I mean, that's a good word
works.
About Airplane?
Yeah. Have I told you about Airplane today?
Yeah.
Ding
do
dong.
Do you have a personal relationship with Airplane?
Yeah. Would you like to?
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Tom, do you have a video recovery?
No.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, sure.
American Hustle.
American Hustle.
Yeah.
Any movie that's about
Goodfellas,
yeah, that has more energy,
right?
Than we should do. So I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you'd like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at facebook.com/Real Spoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers, or you can go to iTunes where you can rate, review, and subscribe. We've been getting lots of reviews in, and it's
so
been
good.
Nice. Like we've really, like, we had stalled out for a long time, and we seem to
turn a corner.
So that's very nice. So hopefully, if you like the show, keep them coming. We love hearing them. So that's it for this time. I guess next week the movie du jour will probably be the Space Between Us. It's like we were talking about it before you got here. I think it's it's like Jonathan Green wrote a space movie.
Great.
And then the guy who did Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, it's got the guy from Asia Butterfield. Ender's Game kid.
Gotcha.
Yikes.
Well, that movie wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So
it's Harrison Ford's fault.
I actually kind of like that movie. I've never seen it since we talked about it, but something about that movie I enjoyed. I don't know what it was.
I mean, it's.
I didn't hate that movie at all.
At its core, it's a decent story.
Yeah.
I mean, people love that book.
Right.
You know?
Something about it hooked me, and I think it's the story, not necessarily the movie, but like having not read the book. Like, I enjoyed the story so much.
Right.
Like, I like this. So, like, I kind of just want to read the book now.
Right. Well, there's a bunch of them. So, so you'll have something to do.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what our movie du jour will be next week. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the wind blows away Howard and Curtin's gold.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.